In our text today, in the third chapter of Exodus, we begin what we're going to be talking about here for the next few weeks until Advent, talking about the inescapable God. And we say, well, what does that mean? And what we're going to see as we open up the Scriptures and see God there in the Scriptures, we're going to see that there's no place we can go to hide from God. He's there, as the psalmist says, in the morning when we wake up. He's there at night when we go to bed. He's in every place, in every time, always there. But most importantly, what He is there doing is trying to reveal Himself to us. In the third chapter of Exodus, we read the interesting story of Moses going up on Mount Horeb, Mount Sinai, and God revealing Himself to Moses there. And what I want you to understand is this is a classic, wonderful, foundational text that we find from the very beginning of the Bible to the very end. That God is a God who reveals Himself to humankind. So many religions today in our world and so many people are doing all kinds of things trying to find God, sometimes inside, sometimes outside. That isn't what the Bible is about. The Bible's not about our journey or our seeking God or trying to find God. The Bible is about God finding humanity through His revelation. In the fall, in September of 1999, I had a friend come up to me. One day, I had been teaching Sunday school in the book of Revelation for some time in the church that I was in, and this friend came up to me. I was not in pastoral ministry yet at this time, and he said, the other day in my prayer time, and the man spent hours in prayer, he said, God revealed to me that you're going to be in pastoral ministry. Of course, I laughed at him. I thought he was crazy. And we talked about it. I went away thinking nothing about it. A few days later, he came back and he said the same thing to me. God again revealed to me, you are going to be in pastoral ministry. I said to the man, why isn't God telling me that? And he said, God will. He will tell you that. Over a period of 3 months, as I prayed about this and asked God to reveal Himself, He did. In extreme ways that I had never seen or heard before, God stepped into my life as if to say, here I am, I'm right in front of you. And after I began to listen more deeply to God and look for Him in places I had never seen, doors opened up. People started saying things to me that was as if God Himself were standing right there speaking to me. And as I look back on my life and all the years that I had been in business, I could see every step of the way that God had been there revealing Himself to me in so many different ways. Now, the reason I'm telling you this, I want to ask you folks some questions as we begin this morning. What would you do if you were out walking around in the fields and you saw a bush that burned but was not consumed? What would you do if you felt, for some stupid reason, that you were supposed to build a gigantic boat out here in the middle of the valley that nobody could ever haul to the river or lake, but you felt an inner calling to build this boat? What would you do if you were maybe here in the valley somewhere and you walked up to a donkey and the donkey started to talk to you? What would you do? What do you do when you go through a time of suffering in your life, maybe physically or spiritually? What do you do when you hear a preacher preach God's word that tells us to repent and to turn from our ways to God? What do you do when you have dreams in the night, scary dreams that terrify you of something that you're involved in or something that you feel like you're supposed to be doing? What do you do when a friend comes up to you and says something that you just particularly don't care about, but they tell you, God told me to tell you this? What do you do when these extremely weird things happen in your life? Do you turn away, go the other direction, and don't ever think about it again? One of the pivotal doctrines in the Bible, in all of Christianity, is that God reveals Himself to us as individuals, as human beings. Other religions believe that God's untouchable, that you can't be in that relationship with God. You can't talk to God. He doesn't really hear us. He's out there on our own. But God is a God who reveals Himself to us. People say to me, well, I wish God would speak to me like He speaks to you. And I tell you all here this morning, He does. He speaks to each one of us. But sometimes I'll admit, it's hard to understand that it is God who's speaking. And it's hard to believe even more that He would speak to me. Like Moses said, who am I? But when I look with the eyes of faith, and I listen with the ears of expectation, I will know always that God is very near. In fact, I can't escape His plan in my life and His pull on me. I cannot escape it. The story of Moses is a great example. Here was a man that was saved by God in the Nile River. He had a calling on his life. He probably knew about it. He was told about this God, this Yahweh, this Jehovah, by his people, the Israelites, as he grew up, because remember, he was nursed in his own home by his own mother. I mean, here was a man that was educated in Egypt in the pagan religions. Here was a man that committed murder. He fled to Midian. He stayed there in Midian for 40 years and was now 80 years old. And here he was, probably in the same spiritual condition as he was his physical condition, in the desert, searching, uncertain of his future, remembering all that he had done wrongly in the past. And what happened? God did something extreme. First of all, God got the man's attention. Moses was tending the flock of Jethro's family and his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the far side of the desert, and he came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I'll go over and see this strange sight. Why the bush does not burn up? Here was a supernatural thing happening. And what I mean by that, it was beyond nature. Nature is what God has created and what we see around us, what's natural. Here was something unnatural happening. And Moses saw this bush on fire, but it didn't burn up. I'm going to go over and see what's going on. That's weird. That's weird. And as Moses goes over, God calls out the man's name. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. I want you to see something here. See how God is revealing himself to Moses? Through nature. Through a bush. Through a bush. That's what we call in theology general revelation. When God reveals himself generally through the creation. And God was using nature through the bush. But when Moses stepped aside to see specifically what was going on, God had his attention. And God spoke to him and said his name, Moses. Moses. And then God commanded an attitude of worship. Moses said, here I am. And God said, don't come any closer. Take off your sandals, for the place where you stand is holy ground. What God was doing with his servant as he was revealing himself was reminding him of God's holiness. You're in my presence, and you need to have an attitude of humility. Take your sandals off. That was symbolic of revering someone or honoring someone or having humility. And God said, I'm holy. Come here, Moses. Come before me. Take off your sandals. I am holy, and you're in the presence of holiness. And God identifies himself. Moses is still probably pretty freaked out about what's going on. But you see, when we step up to see what's going on, God doesn't let us hang. He identifies himself to Moses. He said, I'm the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. Again, Moses would have been taught about the God of the Israelites, the God of the Hebrews, and knew something of this God, but had never had this personal relationship with him. And then one day God did something extreme in Moses' life and stepped into his life and said, Moses! And Moses looked and said, here I am. God identifies himself as the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. That would have meant to Moses, I am Jehovah. I am Yahweh. And Moses hid his face because he knew that anyone that looked on the face of God would be killed, would die. He hid his face. He was probably feeling a sense of disgrace. Here I am, an unholy man, in the presence of a holy God. And the Lord said to him, as God reveals his plan, this plan that he had promised back in Genesis chapter 15, that he would give Abraham's descendants the land of Canaan, he said, I've indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I've heard them crying out because of their slave drivers. I'm concerned about their suffering, so I've come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians, to bring them up out of the land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey. And he describes this land as the home of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. And he says, the cry of the Israelites has reached me. I've seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now, go. I'm sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. Notice what God revealed to Moses. I have seen. I have heard. I am concerned. And I have come down for a specific purpose for my people. God reveals himself by sight. God reveals himself by sound. How many of you have ever been to the Sight and Sound down in Lancaster? You go down there. We've read the Bible stories many times. But you know, until you sit there with the horses going right by you in the aisles and the actors up, the whole thing becoming 3D, it becomes very real. And God does this in our lives. He reveals himself in 3D in many ways in our lives. We get a 3D effect. It's not a silent film. God's not revealing himself in that way. He's speaking out to us. He's all around us in the things that are happening, in the things that are said, and all the places that we go. How would we evaluate the situation if we were Moses there on that mountain that bush was burning? What would we have done? God clearly can act and does act to get our attention. And oh, God has Moses' attention here. In verse 4, Moses said, here I am. He hears a voice, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, here I am. But Moses begins now to enter into that dialogue with God. In verse 11, Moses said to God, who am I? First he says, well, here I am. And then he realizes, oh my gosh, I'm in the presence of a holy God. Who am I? Who am I that you should even be speaking to me? Moses had some choices to make. And this is why we have so much trouble today seeing and hearing God. When God presents himself to us in so many ways in our lives, and when he speaks to us in the ways that he does, we have choices to make. And here's where our trouble comes in. Moses could have turned and walked away and said, nah, that's freakish. I'm out of here. Moses could have denied that it really was God and found 100 scientific excuses why that bush was burning, but it wasn't burned up. Moses could have told God, well, God, wait, I'm a shepherd. You're just going to have to wait. I got things to do. I'm kind of busy over here. I'll be back when I'm done with these things. But no, what did he do? What did he do? He spoke to God. When he felt it was God speaking to him, he spoke back to God. People say to me, well, I think God's trying to say something to me. This or that's happening, or I feel somebody's presence with me, or I feel like I can hear somebody. I say, well, talk back. Talk back. Say, is it you, God? God can hear us. And he'll speak to us. And he'll let us know. But until we decide to enter into that dialogue with him, what are we going to do? Just run around thinking God's a big sugar daddy and he's going to give us everything and do everything for us? And that we're going to truly understand God? Until we open up that dialogue with God, we're not going to understand anything about him. And you notice what God says. Moses says to God, who am I? And God says, doesn't matter who you are. What matters is, I'll be with you. You see, that's the difference. It doesn't matter who we are. People say, oh, God doesn't speak to me. Yes, he does. He speaks to all of us. He's speaking to you right now through His Word. You know, that's the sad reason that I say to people, get in your Bible. See what the Bible has to say about what you're feeling. You're going to find the answers in there. Because here, number one, is where God speaks to us. And God says, it doesn't matter who you are. What matters is, I will be with you. Moses says, well, people aren't going to believe this, God. Suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask, what is His name? What am I going to tell them, God? What am I going to tell them? People are not going to believe this. And God reveals His supremacy and His nature. He says to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent you. These words in Hebrew come from the Hebrew word without vowels in it, which is spelled YHWH, which is Yahweh. It's pronounced Yahweh. And it means, I exist. I am that I am. I exist. I am self-existent. And it expresses the inner meaning of Yahweh. I am the one who actually is, emphasizing God's self-existence. I'm the God who always was and always will be. I just simply am. That's a whole sermon series in itself. But God reveals truly who He is. So how do we know? A lot of times people will say to me, well, how do I know it's God? How do I know it's not Satan trying to steer me in the wrong direction? And that's a valid question. How do we know? Some time ago I was struggling, going through a little bit of depression myself, believe it or not, and of course I was praying, spending time in the Word, and crying out to God, why, God, why am I feeling so distant from You? And I knew God had not withdrawn from me. I knew I had withdrawn from God. And as I looked down over the field one day, I saw something so interesting. The swallows were out in the field. It had rained, and everything was fresh, and the sun was out and crisp. And the swallows had gathered and were swarming and diving and swirling around and coming down to the top of the soybeans and going back up. And they were just chirping and going berserk. I couldn't see what they were after, but I knew they were after something. And I realized, as I watched this, that God was saying to me, look at the birds of the air. They don't sow. They don't reap. They don't store away in barns. And yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much worth much more? Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? I knew God had revealed Himself to me. I could have said, oh, that's just the way it is. That's just nature. But I'm sorry, folks. That isn't just the way it is. We have a choice. Are we going to see or are we not? Are we just going to say, oh, that's just nature. That's the way it is. Are we going to say, God just spoke to me? In my calling in the pastoral ministry, I've shared this with a lot of you, that God came to me in the night in dreams and visions. In the night. And I questioned whether it was really God or not. Maybe this was Satan trying to lead me down some path to embarrass God. And that's ultimately how we will know whether it's God speaking to us or not. If what God is asking us to do glorifies God, we know it's from God. If it doesn't, if it's making a mockery of God, it's from Satan. But I was having dreams. And I wondered, what is going on? Waking up in the middle of the night, hearing choirs of angels singing hymns. Seeing visions in my dreams, some that scared me, some that terrified me. And I quickly turned in God's Word and found in Job 33, the Bible tells us God speaks in many ways, one time this way, one time this way. But one of the ways He speaks to us is in dreams and visions of the night. When man falls into deep sleep, God whispers into their ear in dreams. say to ourselves, well, does it agree with biblical teaching? The second thing we say, is it God-centered or is it man-centered? What was the purpose of God coming to Moses? To reveal to Moses that he was going to deliver his people. Not to glorify Moses. Not to give the people a good feeling, a good bubbly feeling. It was to reveal that God was going to come and save his people. We say, well, does it describe God as he really is when God reveals himself? God's a loving, merciful God, compassionate, wanting to come and save his people. And fourthly, what's the end result? We feel God's trying to reveal himself to us. What's the end result? Is God going to receive the glory or am I? God can speak out of a burning bush. He can speak out of a biblical book. He can speak out of a Pharisee named Paul. He can speak out of a donkey ridden by Balaam. I want you to remember something. Remember that catch you made in that game once? You felt like Superman, didn't you? Do you want to know who gave you that strength? Do you remember that hit that you made? You felt like you could have hit it out of the park. Who gave you that power to hit that ball? Remember that goal that you made? Who placed you in that space and time perfectly and empowered you to do that? Remember that test that you aced? Who pulled that knowledge out of your brain and put it down on paper in the proper way at the proper place? Remember the time you were sick and struggling and cried out to God and couldn't figure out why? Who brought you through that? Remember that accident that you survived? You look at the car, you can't believe that you survived a thing like that. Remember that divorce that you went through? How tough that was? Who was it that gave you the strength to get through that? Remember the death of a loved one that was so hard for you to get through, but you got through it by the grace and the strength of God. Remember that job you got that was just the job and provided everything that you were going to need. Remember that trip that you went on and all the things that happened and all the beauty that you saw. Or remember that song that you heard that brought back memories or inspired you to do something. God's in all that. God's there every single minute of our lives saying, hey, here I am. I hope he doesn't have to use extreme measures to get our attention like he did Moses. I hope we hear him. I hope we see him. I hope it becomes clear to us that God really does reveal himself, because he's an inescapable God, and the sad reality is so many people are trying to get away from him. They're trying to escape him. And that's just not the way it's going to work, because they never will. Moses had quite an experience on the mountain on Horeb. And I want to tell you something, that when you look and when you listen and you step aside to see what it is or to hear what's being said, you will find a God who says, I hear you, I know you, I'm concerned about you, I want to save you. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you so much for your stories that you've given to the writers of the Bible. But they are so much more than stories, they're truths of your revealing grace and presence in the lives of so many. And I know, God, that you've revealed yourself to so many people here and are still revealing yourself to them. I don't know whether they're acknowledging you or not, God. I pray that they do, because they can know that overflowing joy that exceeds all of our human knowledge. If they just simply take the time to look at the burning bush, to listen for your voice crying out in a supernatural way to them, that God does care, that he knows us by name, and he desires to be in a relationship with us. And he is reaching out to us this very hour, this very minute. May we hear him, may we follow him, and be obedient to him. In Jesus' name, amen. close with hymn number 75. Let's stand and sing together.